Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this morning from Luke, the gospel according to Luke, chapter 13. Read especially this text first, verse 12. Luke 13, verse 12. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. The theme for the sermon is A Daughter of Abraham Set Free. We have 3 points. The first point, bound for 18 years. Secondly, healed by Christ. And thirdly, on the Sabbath day. So the theme is A Daughter of Abraham Set Free. 3 points, bound for 18 years, healed by Christ on the Sabbath day. Congregation, it is said that on March 23, 1775, you probably know it, Patrick Henry said the famous words, give me liberty or give me death. And with these words he was expressing the value of liberty, the value of freedom. This morning we have read from God's Word about the work of Christ bringing liberty, bringing freedom. True liberty comes from God. True freedom comes from God in Christ. The Lord Jesus is in the synagogue, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. So the synagogue, what is a synagogue, children? You know that? You could say that's the church for the Jews. So the church in the days of the Lord Jesus, the church, the place, the location where the people gather for instruction, for teaching, for preaching from the Word. And it was a habit, a common use in those days, that visitors who had to say something received the opportunity to speak. And the Lord Jesus, using this opportunity, he is teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And Sabbath means Sabbath day means day of rest. And the Lord had given a day of rest in those days, the seventh day, and we have the first day as the day of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, to be in church, to be in the house of the Lord, to receive instruction, preaching, to hear the word, and to be blessed by the authority and the power of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus is teaching in a synagogue on the Sabbath. In those synagogues there was also usually a man who was a leader, who was responsible for the order in the synagogue. So we also see him there, the ruler of the synagogue. But there are people gathered too. Of course, they are in the house of the Lord, you could say, to hear the word. And there's one person that Scripture is asking attention for. Behold, there was a woman, and there's something special in her life. She had a spirit of infirmity. And that had lasted for 18 years. The Lord Jesus says in verse 16, whom Satan hath bound, lo, you could also translate, think about it. Think about that. These 18 years, how old are you? Maybe you're 12 or 16 or 18 or 20, and you'll be bound for your whole lifetime. No real freedom. This horrible thing, a spirit of infirmity, which the Lord Jesus explains that in this situation it was Satan who hath bound her for 18 years. Not 1 year, not 1 month or a week, but not 2 years, but 18 years. That sounds like endless, but it would come to an end today. Lo, these 18 years. So it was Satan, it was a spirit of infirmity like the devil who had bound her. As he was bound together and could in no wise lift up herself. So you see it before you probably, how she was bound together. You know, she had no power to lift up herself. So she, looking down, seeing dirt, the ground, not able to stand straight and look up, to see the sky, the sun. How hard it must have been for her to move, to walk. Every step she experienced that spirit of infirmity. What a miserable thing to see her there. How would she have felt? I'd like to know that. But Scripture does not say it. But you can probably imagine something of this miserable feeling, experience. But she's there. She's in church. Would you do that? Would you be there? 18 years. There's no doubt that she has prayed about it, isn't it? And it didn't change. And she's still there. He's still coming to church. What an example, isn't it? You may sit here with deep disappointment in your heart. Maybe there's something that's bowing you down, binding you together. And you have no strength to lift up yourself. In no way. You've prayed about it. How many times? Maybe for years. Maybe you gave up praying about it. And maybe Satan tells you, well, why would you go to church? God doesn't care for you. God doesn't bother about your misery. He's not hearing your prayers. You better go and enjoy yourself in the world and in sin. Then at least you have some pleasure. She didn't do that. She couldn't do that. The Lord Jesus calls her a daughter of Abraham. Yeah, of course, she was an Israelite. A member of the people of Israel. But it could be that you hear more in it. I mean, Scripture is talking about those that are really children of Abraham. Those that belong to Christ are really children of Abraham. So that could be that she was not only by birth a child of Abraham, but also by regeneration, that the Lord had worked spiritual life in her heart. Wait a minute, is that possible? Is that possible that you are born again, that you are living by faith, that you are a child of God? And that you are bound together by a spirit of infirmity, which the Lord Jesus says is in this case Satan. Okay, well, let's answer a few questions. Let's first take this lesson. Be faithful in attending church. Even if there is disappointment in your life. Even if it feels like God doesn't hear my prayer. He's not helping me. Because Scripture is making it clear that God is God. And that He is ruling according to His will. And that we are small creatures that we don't understand many times His ruling of our lives in this world. So we need faith to trust what His word is teaching us. And that He is wise and good. And it would be the worst if this reality that God is God and ruling our lives according to His will and plan would make us turn away from God. That's what Satan would like. So be faithful in church. Let's say that we would live in the days of the Lord Jesus. He would be there in the synagogue. And is He not there in preaching of His word? Yes, He is. And then you, with that burden that you have, He would be there, but you would not be there. He who called her in front. But what if she had not been there? Why would you not be faithful to attend church? So that's an important lesson, an example we see in this woman. But then we might ask the question, well, is it always the case in a situation of sickness, infirmity, or disability that it is Satan, who is doing that in our lives? I don't think we should say that. I don't think Scripture is teaching that. That it's always like being bound by Satan. I know Satan is trying to bring harm and destruction in this world in many ways, and God allowed him to do a lot in the life of Job. But to say that every situation of disability is a situation of Satan binding a person together, I don't think that's what Scripture is teaching us. But there can be situations. There are. That's clear. There are situations that it is clearly the influence of the devil. But that brings us to the next question. Is this possible in the life of someone who is really a child of Abraham by belonging to Christ? Can such a person be possessed by Satan? I wouldn't use the word possessed. I'm inclined to use the word oppressed. There can be still a power experienced that is hindering us so much in our lives. I would say the dominion of Satan is broken. So I wouldn't use the word possession. Like we have seen many examples in Scripture in the days of the Lord Jesus, people being possessed by Satan. And He sets them free, showing His power over the devil. But so then Christ is ruling their lives and having dominion over them. I think we can say that Christ has dominion over our lives when we live by true faith, when we have repented, when we have that heart that is repenting before the Lord and trusting the work of the Lord Jesus. Then Christ is taking dominion, has dominion in our lives. But does that mean that Satan will have no opportunity to have influence that he could not oppress? No, that's not the case. Satan still has power and opportunities. And there are occasions that, and we find a very clear example of that in Scripture. The example of Paul, who was a born-again Christian and called by the Lord to minister the gospel. But what does he say? There was a thorn in his flesh, and that hindered him so much in the ministry. And he had prayed about it 3 times, and the Lord made it clear that his grace is sufficient and that his power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul is describing this situation as a messenger of Satan beating him. You could translate the word messenger also with an angel, so you could say a demon, a fallen angel of Satan beating him. So there you have it, another example. Paul was so hindered for his experience by this thorn in the flesh, that angel of Satan beating him. But the Lord said, no, it's helping you. It's helping you to keep you humble and so useful in my hand, and that my power will be revealed in you. So that answers the question, isn't it? If you have to say this was a child of God, this lady, yes, we can say that. We can believe that because Satan can oppress God's children, like he did also to Paul. So what is the burden in your life? What is bowing you together? And for how long? We read in Psalm 38 about sin. That's like a burden. We read somewhere else about sorrow. So Psalm 38, there we read in verse 4, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. Now that could be the case that you experienced that here many years already. But Christ calls this woman and sets her free, and he is the same today. Or if you go to Psalm, like we have been singing, 42, there we read in verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And then verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? So sorrow, because of circumstances, can bind you together, bow you down as a burden. Or if you turn to Psalm 44, verse 24-25, there we read, wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. So suffering, sin, sorrow, suffering, all these things that we experience in this life can bow you down. But Christ can set you free. He is the same. So our first thought was bound for 18 years. The second thought is healed by Christ. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. He saw her. A beautiful thing to read it. Do you see it before your eyes? The people gathered in the church, in the synagogue. Christ preaching and looking and seeing. And that's what Scripture is revealing about Christ. That's how we get to know Him from Scripture, isn't it? That He's always sensitive about the infirmity of people, people in need. They do not escape His attention. And that immediately gives us a question, application. What about us? Do we see the needy, the weak? That's not a common thing in this world and this society. We go for strength and power and success, and we see those people, isn't it? They are seen in this world. Christ is totally different, the opposite. He saw you. He's seeing you. Oh, that's for sure. He knows all about you. He knows the band that is binding you. People might not know it. You might be ashamed to talk about it. Christ knows. And there's no reason why you would try to hide it before Him. Because if you continue to read, you see how full of compassion He is. Do you know that? Did you experience this compassion of Christ in your personal life? Children, you know the Lord Jesus in His compassion, in His amazing love. You might be aware of your weakness. Young people, there might be such an infirmity in your life. There might be a habit or an addiction that you are bound with and you cannot lift up yourself in no wise. In no way, yes. It's totally impossible. Maybe you have experienced that. And you feel so alone. You feel so ashamed. You feel so guilty. It's like it's bound you down. Anybody who would understand? Is there anybody I could talk to? Is there anybody who can help me? And when Jesus saw her, He is here this morning. That's according to Scripture. He is present in His Word. And by His Spirit, and He is seeing you. Yeah, He is seeing you. No doubt about it. And He is speaking to you. When Jesus saw her, maybe there's an adult here who gets stuck in all the hardships of this life. You don't know how to continue. It's so long already, so many years. I cannot lift up myself. There's a deep hurt in my life. It's binding me. There's a burden of my infirmity, my weakness, my sinfulness. Maybe there's an older person here. You feel you lose your physical strength, but you also have that hard experience of infirmity in yourself. And when Jesus saw her, what is He going to do then? He is seeing you. He called her to Him. That's the answer for your infirmity. He called her to Him. This morning Christ is calling you to Him. Where else would you go? That's what Peter says. Where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. This morning Christ is speaking in the preaching of the word, and He's calling sinners to Himself. Those that suffer as a result of sin. We I mean, every suffering is in a certain way a result of sin. I'm not saying that in your life there's a special sin that because of that you suffer in a special way. No, that's not what I say. And Christ is calling to himself. Oh, I love these words of the Heidelberg Catechism, that Christ, through his word and spirit, is gathering a church unto himself. You could say that's the definition of the church. People that are gathered unto Christ. And he said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Oh, what a powerful word. There's no doubt in it. There's no question in it. It's not like you might be. No, you are loosed from your infirmity. Only Christ can speak this way. He has the authority and the power to speak this way, and he is doing these miracles. He is the same. And he laid his hands on her. Why would he do that? Why would he lay his hands on her? You see, before you... Well, by the way, that must have been hard. Again, Scripture does not describe her feelings, but... How would you feel about it? Sitting here in church, and you are hindered by something, and then you're called to the front. And everybody will see it. It will be exposed. Isn't that cruel? Isn't that hard? Isn't that... No. Christ has a purpose in it. To expose the work of God. And the glory of the work of God also in her life. To bring her publicly from shame to glory. So there she comes. He called her to him. She's rising. Well, might be they were standing. They say like the teacher was sitting and people, the audience standing. But anyways, she came in front. She came to the front. She does it. That's a miserable sight to see how hard it is for her to do this. Bow down, hindered every movement she makes. She comes. You feel hindered? How can I come to Jesus? I'm so ashamed about myself. I do not dare to be exposed in my misery. Oh, cannot do that. What will people think? And can I draw near to him? This rabbi, this teacher? Oh, this is too hard. We do not read that. That's amazing that she did come. It shows the power of the word. Does it also not show faith in her heart? So she comes. Yes, she comes. You see it? Watch what happens. She comes. And he laid his hands on her. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. The infirmity was gone. The band was broken. Freedom. She could lift up herself. She was lifted up. Well, we ask the question, why did he lay hands on her? I mean, how many examples that the Lord Jesus healing someone without laying hands, even at a distance? He could do it. Yes, he can. So there is a purpose in it. Scripture does not describe it here, but you can think about it. It does something, I mean, for her to experience. You can think about that the Lord was in this way helping her in her faith to bring more assurance by the touching of his hands, to give her, to help her, to confirm in a certain way his words. Yeah, we are so weak, we need signs. The Lord has given us a sacrament of bread and wine to assure faith in the lives of those that trust in him. So that's one. And think about that the Lord Jesus using it for her sake, to give her assurance, to help her in this situation. But think about it. Who would have touched her? And to be touched can help so much to feel accepted. We know that, isn't it? Yeah, we know that. We know about hugs, how they help to be touched. And if you experience people that love you and touch you, you might not think so much about it. That there might be people that are maybe never touched by someone. And would that not be the case in the life of this woman, 18 years, but being bowed down, and what a miserable sight, and would people not despise her? And even where they thought in those days, well, sickness has to do with sin, so there must be something horribly wrong in the life of this woman. Would people not kind of avoid and keep a distance? And here is the Lord Jesus, and publicly in front of everybody, he's touching her. He is so different. People could have felt so reluctant to have fellowship with her. But the Lord Jesus is totally different. He laid hands on her, and immediately she was healed. What an exceeding power in Christ. Oh, what a mercy. Oh, what a compassion. Is there anybody here this morning caught in doubt about the saving work of Christ? These words and this history is breaking every doubt, isn't it? Is healing every doubt. There's such a power in what we see happening here before our eyes, in front of the church, that the Lord Jesus is healing this woman in all her misery, which seemed to be impossible. She might have given up. And you might have too. But the Lord is a surprising God. He loves those situations, to reveal himself in those situations where every imagination of that we deserve it, that we are worthy, is stripped away. There we are, in our misery, infirmity, and helplessness, and there he is seeing us. And there he is calling us. And there he is speaking to us. And there he is touching us, and we may touch him. Also in the signs of the Lord's Supper, touched the body, the blood of Christ, and taste it. Oh, what a miracle. Immediately she was made straight and glorified God. I would say this is a proof of the work of the Lord in her life. This is a real daughter of Abraham. She was healed and made straight and glorified God. The first thing she does is to glorify God. She came to church. She was not grumbling, sitting at home, complaining. Oh, poor I, poor me, as she came to church. We do not read that she was crying to the Lord Jesus, "Help me, I'm in need." So it seems he didn't come in the first place for her physical need. She came for a soul, for the word. And she received a blessing also in her body. And she glorified God. She was not going to boast in herself, "Look how special I am. I've experienced this and that." No. She was straight. She could look up. Oh, she would go out. She could see the sky. She could see the sun. But it's clear that she is seeing in Christ the Son of Righteousness, isn't it? That's what we all need. We need to be lifted up to see Christ. Oh, by nature we are bowed down, bowed together. We see the dirt of this world and of sin and of self, and we can be so stuck in seeking and looking in ourselves and searching if we can find anything. We are bowed together. That's our natural inclination. I have to find something here. Must be something I can offer God so that He can accept me. How many years are you bowed together that way? But then Christ is going to speak. And then He made her straight. And then you will glorify God. Then you will come to the high, the chief end of life, to glorify God. And she glorified God. No more looking down to the darkness of this world and her own heart, but looking up to see the sun, the sky, heaven, where God is. Isn't that a picture of salvation? That God is breaking the bands of sin and unbelief, and that the burden is taken away, and that we see the Lord and glorify Him. Ah, it's beautiful. It's necessary. And let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 102, stanza 1 through 5. 102, stanza 1, "In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord." 102, stanza 1 through 5. congregation, we can probably not describe the joy in the heart of this woman to be set free, to be lifted up, to be made straight, and to glorify God for it. So everybody will be joyful, isn't it? There's joy in heaven about a sinner who's repenting. Who would not be joyful? Someone is not joyful. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. He said to the people. Should he not say to the Lord Jesus? He doesn't dare to do that. Such an awareness of the authority of Christ. So he turned to the people and spoke against them. Well, that's kind of foolish. Did they bring her? Seems she could still walk, although it was hard. And it seems she didn't even come to be healed. She didn't ask for it. She didn't cry to the Lord Jesus about it. So why is there that indignation, ruler of the synagogue? Explain, please, to us. Well, he was caught. It's a clear example. He was caught in this framework of rules that the Pharisees had made. The Pharisees were thinking and teaching that to do medical work, except in a very urgent case, situation, that to do medical work is a sin. You couldn't do work on the Sabbath day, and so you couldn't do medical work. That was as clear as it could be for this man. And so here is something going horribly wrong. Transgression of this law, this rule. Oh, the Sabbath day is not sanctified. That's what he feels. That's what he thinks. That's what his conscience is saying him. But the conscience is not infallible. It has to be directed and be led by Scripture. So there it went wrong in the life of this person. You can have indignation. It seems he's sincere about it. But it's not right. And Christ is going to make it clear. So he's caught, you could say, in a lie. And Christ is going to speak the truth to set him free. And it doesn't tell if that happened to him. But the words of Christ are very powerful, this truth. That's beautiful. That's beautiful to hear Christ speaking in this situation. I mean, his wisdom. Also, he is so honest. It's sharp as a knife, isn't it? It's sharp as a sword. Yeah, that's Christ. He's the truth, and the truth is sharp. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite. Well, that's offending to say that. That hurts. Yeah, the truth hurts. But it has the intention to heal. It's like the knife of a surgeon. And yeah, it hurts. But to heal, that's how Christ is doing it. Thou hypocrite. So you could say, what is a hypocrite? Well, you could say someone with the outward appearance of righteousness, but masking unrighteousness. So outward appearance of righteousness can mask unrighteousness, and it happens so much in this world. It's such an inclination. It should look good. It should look good. No, it has to be good. I mean, there has to be a change. It's dangerous to put that mask of outward righteousness on.
Why do you say that it is dangerous?
Because it's not true. And the truth will set you free. So the truth has to be seen and revealed in your life and my life, as painful as it is, so that we will see reality, experience our infirmity, impossibility, but don't try to hide, to cover it, to make up, to make a show of religion. Thou hypocrite, you're totally wrong. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his ox or his ass? You do that. On the Sabbath day you will loose, unbind the ox or ass and lead them to drink. Lead him away to watering. Of course, you take care of those animals. You see their need. You wouldn't let them suffer or die there. So if you do that to animals. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abram, being so privileged by God to be part of the people of the covenant and have the means of his word and his law, his sacraments, whom Satan has bound low. Think about it. These 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day, on the day of rest, the day of the Lord. Sure, there's no better day. Today is the best day to be set free. Day of the Lord. And there will not be a better day than today. Why would you delay to hear his voice and to come? Is it not true that every time he would not hear, he get a little bit more deaf? I know Christ is healing those that are deaf. But just think about it. There will not be a better day. Oh, this had to happen on the Sabbath day. So the Lord Jesus, this is the day of the Lord. This is the day to glorify God in it. This is the day for this soul to find rest. And let us have to be made straight, to be helped, to be delivered. Today is the day to get rid of your burden, to come to Christ, to hear his voice. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Oh, what can you say against it? This is the word of Christ. You feel the power of the truth, isn't it? They've all felt it. They felt the authority of the word. Nobody could say anything against it. It's just breaking every word that came up against it. And oh, that is true of the words of Christ. So Christ is revealing how wrong this man is. How wrong our natural way of thinking is. Our legalistic way of thinking. Being caught in the rules. And having lost the very heart of the matter, the love toward God and the love toward the neighbor. That was the essence of the law, and they had lost it. They had darkened the light, and Christ is bringing the light back. So if we have a religion that is hindering us to do well to our neighbor, we're kind of at the same track. It's time that we hear the words of Christ. And especially the Sabbath day is a day to do good to our neighbor and to glorify God. And all his adversaries were ashamed and all the people rejoiced. I thought about it.
That's the result of speaking of Christ. There's always a sorting out, you could say, a separation. Two kind of people. And his adversaries were ashamed. Well, if we are sitting here ashamed, that's good, because it's still a day of grace. A day that our shame can be taken away by his grace. But the people rejoiced. They experienced the glory of Christ. I thought, this is also how it will be on the day of judgment. Christ will speak and reveal, and nobody will be able to speak against it. There will be such a convincing power in it. And oh, then it makes all the difference forever. If we are his adversary, if we continued our whole life to be his adversary, and to be ashamed is a most horrible thought. I'm trembling when I think about that. The day of judgment, to be his adversary and then to be ashamed. Because we never wanted to be ashamed in this life. We escaped. Tried to escape from it and cover it and mask it in a hypocritical way. But then the other people, and all the people rejoiced. All the people of God will rejoice on the day of judgment for all the glorious things that were done by him. We have to see this life in the light of the day of judgment. We have to see also the sacrament in that light, because we do it till he comes. Let's be ashamed about our sin, but let's look to Christ and rejoice for all the glorious things that he has done. Amen. Congregation, we will continue to read the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper. You find it in the back of the Psalter. Starts at page 136, and we continue page 137, the second part of the page. In the back of the Psalter, page 137. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promise made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly. From the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden where he was bound, that we might be freed from our sins. That he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings,
and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross. When he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. And finally, confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ in his last supper took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness and glory. Besides, that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy body in true, as the holy apostle said, for we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together one wine floweth and mixeth itself together, so shall we all who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ be all together one body through brotherly love. For Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only showed this in word, but also in very deed towards one another. Here to assist us the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. Let us pray. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech Thee that Thou will be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto Thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with His true body and blood, yea, with Him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, that we may no longer live in our sins, but He in us and we in Him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but Thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as Thy beloved children and heirs grant us also Thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted head expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where He will make our mortal bodies like unto His most glorious body, and take us unto Him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory for ever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic, undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouth and heart, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate, at the right hand of His heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with His body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of Him. Congregation, while the table is prepared, we sing Psalter 64, stanza 1 through 3. 64, stanza 1, Lord, I lift my soul to Thee, O my God, I trust Thy might. 64, stanza 1 through 3.
Dear congregation, the Lord Jesus was bound as a sinner. He was made sin to save his church, to set sinners free. And that's what we need. By nature we are all bound. There's no freedom outside of Christ. We are more miserable than this woman, bound together for 18 years in ourselves by nature. But there's such a power in the word of Christ. Woman, come unto me. He called her to himself. And he loosed the band that bound her. And that costed him the price that he was bound and even nailed to the cross and sacrificed himself. That's a great miracle we see here exposed. So we see here, while we saw the breaking of the bread, we saw that the body of Christ is broken. Actually, a horrible thought. We saw the wine, we saw that the blood of Christ is shed. We saw how horrible sin is. And in the same signs, we see the amazing love of God, that he gave his son, that Christ gave himself. And he cried, he spoke at the cross, "It is finished." He is not lying. So it is so clear and true that his work is sufficient. For the chief of sinners. And he himself is the host to feed the souls of the hungry, of those that cannot help themselves anymore. Come then, because all things are prepared. There is still room at this table for a sinner seeking salvation in Christ. And we start now the administration of the Lord's Supper. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Let us read a few verses from Scripture, from John chapter 8, the Gospel according to John chapter 8, starting at verse 31. John 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abram's seed, and we are never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abram's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father." Christ is in this scripture part speaking about being free.
He is speaking about a truth that shall make you free. And also, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. It is the Son who is making people free. It is Christ. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So this is a freedom that the world doesn't know. This is a spiritual freedom. It is a freedom in our hearts. It's a freedom worked by the Holy Spirit through the Word. It's a freedom that the bondage of sin is broken. Which doesn't mean that we wouldn't sin and stumble in sin, but which means that we are taken from the dominion of darkness and put in the dominion of, in the kingdom of light, where Christ has dominion. So that's why Christ is warning them as well. If you do sin, you are a servant of sin. If you have the desire, the decision in your heart to continue in sin, then you're not free. So the miracle is the change of the heart. The miracle is the change of the will. And that's a warfare. That's a fight. That's a life with disappointment about myself and my old nature who still wants to sin. But also an experience of the power of Christ who makes me straight. And lifts me up and gives me spiritual life so that I don't want it anymore. And the dominion of sin is broken in my life. So that means a life with Christ and His Word in your heart, to walk with Him. And what else would you want? Nothing else. You would want to walk with the Lord, isn't it? Tasted His goodness and love here. Let us walk with Christ by faith every day. Let us sing now Psalter 293, stanza 1 through 3. 293, stanza 1, rebels who had dared to show proud contempt of God Most High, bound in iron and in woe, shades of death and darkness nigh, humbled, low, with toil and pain, fell and looked for help in vain. 293, all stanzas. Thank you.
Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord had now fed our souls at his table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Who had not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him, therefore God commended therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Congregation, let us now close the administration of the Lord's Supper and also the service of the word with prayer. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast, of thy infinite mercy, given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son Jesus Christ should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith, and saving fellowship with him through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Lord, we thank thee for thy goodness shown in thy word and in the sacrament. We pray that a meditation on these things will be a blessing for our souls. And Lord, that thou would also provide for us if we could not attend. That thou would seek and find us, Lord, we may have fellowship with thee. Lord, we thank thee for thy goodness, that we could have this service. That thou hast kept and spared also in traveling this last week. Also the group of young people and others that are traveling, that thou would keep those that are still traveling, Lord, and that it may be experienced that thou art the God of the whole world. We thank thee that we could have Vacation Bible School this week. We pray for our neighborhood, Lord. We pray especially also for those that have attended, and that thou would bless the seed that is sown in the hearts, that it will be fruitful for their salvation and thy glory, for conversion, Lord. And maybe we don't ever see it, but still it will be, according to thy promise, that we would cast our bread on the water, and that we will find it after many days. Oh, eternity will reveal, Lord, so much. We pray that Thou would bless the efforts. We thank Thee that there was the opportunity to do it and the willingness to serve. Lord, be with us this day. Keep us when we go home. Bring us again in Thy house for a service of reflection on the Lord's Supper, and that Thou would be with us then as well. Hear us in the forgiveness of our many sins, in Jesus' name. Amen.